Got a little video clip. Excuse the camera angle, but let's go ahead and roll this real quick.
And he was truly complimentary. It wasn't in any way, it didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me and then gave me this Bible. And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that.
All right, you guys. So, what do you think? Have you guys seen that before? Okay, so that's Penn from the Penn and Teller show in Las Vegas. He's a renowned atheist, which is an interesting fact. But I think God can speak through an atheist. God can speak through anyone. And first time I saw that, I thought, wow, that's amazing. That he has that clarity about truth. Because that's really what he's talking about. If you really believe it, then it's going to change the way that you live, the way that you relate to people who don't believe when it matters. And that's what we're talking about today, is when love wins and you get distressed. When you get distressed. That's the truck bearing down and you're freaked out. And you tackle your friend, right? So today we're going to talk about tackling our friends and family. And I mean that in a very sincere way. Growing in our distress for their condition without Christ. Another word for distressed is to be anguished, right? To be outside of yourself. Now, I know Dave proposed, and it was awesome, on the beach, right? And it was great. But what would have happened if she would have said no? You know, talk about anguish, right? I mean, you would be like, oh my goodness, this is so stupid. I can't even believe this. But you would just be in shock, I hope, and in anguish. I proposed to my wife in front of about 100,000 people, and so you know, if she would have said no, I wouldn't be here today probably. But she said yes, and you know, the thing is, that's really why we started Passion for People is really the point of this message. There was an anguish, there was a distress, and I'm praying that heaviness will fall upon us. Because as this atheist even stated, if you really believe there's a heaven and hell, and that you have the way to heaven, and that people are without God, you can't just sit there and act like nothing's wrong, right? Just like the truck bearing down. You can't just sit there and watch someone get bulldozed over, even someone you don't know. There's something in our humanity that says, oh, that would be wrong to watch someone die when you could stop it. And that's the heart of the gospel and of the truth. Turn with me real quick to Romans chapter 9. And it's a great picture of what we're talking about here this morning. We're jumping right into it. Romans chapter 9, you might want to underline these because it underscores a belief. Verse 1, I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit. Here's the word. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. So Paul is saying that he would rather go to hell if they could be saved. Do you see that? Now, I know I care about people, but I don't know if I'd be willing to say that. Think about going to hell. I mean, that's like forever and ever in torment, away from God, away from hopefully people you love. Paul is making a huge statement here. I mean, Paul has a heart for God and for people that I know I don't have yet. I mean, there's some scriptures where you go, you know what, I could get there. I could get there. If I, you know, if I ask God to grow me, I could get there. But this verse challenges me. I'm like, I don't know if I could get there. Yeah, I'd rather go to hell so they could go to heaven. That's how much I love my brothers and sisters. Now, I do have those thoughts because I have a brother and a sister that aren't following the Lord. And I have to admit, you know, my heart's just broken for them. They're lost. And their lives are wasting away. Every day without Jesus Christ is a day lost. True? And it really begs the question for us, is that true? What would your life be like without a relationship with Jesus Christ? Would it really be better? Would it really be different? And that's just this life, right? By faith, we know and believe that there's eternal life. Millions and millions and millions and millions of years. And even if this life wasn't different, certainly it would be worth it for that life, right? Wouldn't it? If it's true, if it's really there, if heaven's as good as heaven is and hell is as good as hell is, as bad as hell is. I know you guys just did a series on life after death, on heaven and hell, and saw some clips of some guys that had some experiences or some visions. And Steve and I were talking about that, and I was just excited because I've been kind of studying that myself, and I've seen how God has used it. The Bible says, set your mind on things above, not on things below here on earth. God's actually commanded us to spend time thinking about heaven and hell. To think about what's beyond this life. Because it's a reality. And the more that's reality, the more it affects how we live today. Amen? And so, you see these realities here. He says, I was in anguish. I was in sorrow. I was wishing that I could go to hell so they could go to heaven. You know, a few years ago, my grandpa was on his deathbed, and he was a drunkard. And the Bible says that drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. It very, very clearly states that. Now you're like, that sounds like work salvation. But it goes on to say, and such were some of you until God entered your life and the Spirit of God delivered you. And so my grandpa was a drunkard, and that's why he was on his deathbed. Now, he was just destroying his body. It's my little reminder time-wise. Keep moving. But that's one of my favorite songs, Toby Mac. That's a good one. So, my grandpa's on his deathbed, and we thought he would die before I got down there. That happened with my grandma. I was actually driving down to California, and she died a few hours before I got there. Now, she was a Christian, so it was a little different story, a lot different story. But my grandpa was not a believer, and I could tell just because he was a drunkard. And so, you know, I'm sitting there, and there were actually a couple episodes of pneumonia and some other things where they thought he was dead and I wasn't going to make it to see him. And in those moments, I love my grandpa, We've always been close. Everyone's always said, out of all the grandkids, I'm the most like him. And I just, I don't know if that's a compliment to him, but but that's what people said. I was the most like my grandpa, not the drunkard part. But he was, I loved him. And fond memories. And I just started crying when I thought about him spending eternity in hell. I'd never seen him again. And at that point, I want to throw the Bible away, don't I? And say, heck with that Bible. I want him in heaven. I don't want what it says to be true. Isn't that what happens sometimes? And there are people that do that. And there are people that throw sections of the Bible out for that reason. Because they have been in anguish over the souls of people around them, thinking, this can't mean that. There's, you know, they haven't heard enough. God understands. It's just different language, these other religions that they follow. And we hear all these excuses and justifications, but the Bible is very clear. There's only one way, one truth, one life. There's only one person. That's a bridge between us and God. And who is that person? The man, Jesus Christ, the scripture says in Timothy. It's Jesus Christ. And so, you know, I think God is asking us today to let love win, because love always speaks the truth, right? Love is not content to just sit there when you know what's true and let someone pass on to death and to hell without making any attempt to share the truth. Love demands it, doesn't it? Love demands it. It's like, you know what? I love you enough. I'm okay with you being angry at me. That's what happened with my grandpa, by the way. God answered my prayer. He was alive when I got there. He was drunk when I got there. He had miraculously gotten out of the hospital. He said, I don't know, he's one tough dude. You know, he should be dead like 5 times now, the way he's treated himself. Of course, he gets out of the hospital, and what he goes right to the bottle. It's 10 in the morning, he's already drunk. Relatives say, don't even bother seeing him, because, you know, we've gone to see him so many times, and it's just stupid. It's just a waste of time. He's not there. So we prayed. First day, he's drunk. We're in anguish. Second day, we pray. I said, Lord, just sober him up for a day so we can have an actual conversation with him. And so we go back. Everyone's telling us it's a waste of time because it's about an hour drive from where we were staying to my grandpa's place. And we get there. I sit down with him. We shoot some darts. He's a big dart guy. And he was actually hitting the bullseyes. What's that mean? He's not drunk. You can see the holes in the wall around it. And you know the difference. So we're talking to him, and he's not drunk, and we have some fun, we have some lunch, and then I just couldn't hold back. I said, Grandpa, man, I've just been torn up just thinking about you almost dying and not being sure that you're going to be in heaven. And of course he's like, oh yeah, I'll be in heaven. So, you know, I believe in God. I used to go to church. And I said, well, can I share a verse with you that is really tore me up, but I believe it's God's very word. It's true. And you know, drunkards in 1 Corinthians, it says drunkards and a bunch of others, homosexuals, those who practice homosexuality. By the way, I have a brother that practices homosexuality, and that's what gets me stressed out. And it has a list of these lifestyles of people. Now, I had to say to my grandpa, I said, look, it says they will not inherit the kingdom of God, but I'm not saying you have to stop drinking to go to heaven. Isn't that kind of what religion would say? Clean yourself up, do these things, and you're going to get there. No, what it says very clearly is, and such were some of you until Jesus Christ took your sins away and the Spirit of God delivered you. I said, what God's saying is that when you have the living God living inside of you, made possible through Jesus Christ, you won't need the alcohol. Because that's the substitute that you have right now. That's the issue. God said you're only going to have one or the other controlling you, one or the other that you're looking to. And you've been looking to alcohol for 10 years. And it still hasn't delivered you. I said, but that takes faith to trust Jesus instead of the alcohol. doesn't it? And faith comes by hearing the words of Christ. And I gave him a challenge. I said, Grandpa, for me, even if it's just for me as your grandson who loves you, would you consider just starting to read the Bible? And I gave him a little Gideon New Testament, all right? I gave him a little Bible, New Testament. I said, you know, maybe start here. Would you do that? And of course, he was in tears because I was in tears. And, you know, the Spirit of God was there, and he said, yeah, I'll do it. My dad calls him a couple weeks later. Say, hey, what you doing? Because my dad was calling basically every day now. He was, you know, sick. And he said, oh, I'm just reading the Bible. My dad's jaw drops. You're reading the Bible? What are you doing reading the Bible? Well, your son, you know, asked me to do it. I'm actually starting to really enjoy it. And I've been reading it every day. And then my dad gave him a nicer Bible than the Gideon. And talk to him, ask questions. Within a short time, he had given his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's 70-something years old. He's an old guy. And now... All right, I'm done. I'll just pray. Got my getaway car. He'd had a lot of years to live the wrong way and to think the wrong way. And to see how he quit drinking, to see how he went back to church on his own, to see the attitudes and the conversations change. I mean, it was just miraculous. I was like, is this the same guy? In fact, it was so miraculous that one of my cousins, who was an atheist and going to secular university in California, had nothing to do with God. I had talked to him about the Lord a few times. All of a sudden, he was asking me about God. And I was like, where did this come from? He said, well, I was hanging out with Grandpa. And he's just so changed and different. I was like, there's got to be something to this. And then he got saved, my cousin Dustin. And then he started doing ministry with InterVarsity and, you know, all this stuff. And I was just like, oh, that's pretty awesome. Who would have imagined, right? But you see, that's the way God works, and that's what he plans. God has plans. They're powerful plans. And they involve you and I. And that's really what this passage is about. We're not going to have time to go through every point today. But I want, and I've asked the Lord and Steve and Johnny and us who've been kind of scheming and planning and plotting towards Easter in particular, been saying, Lord, would you put a fire in your people to be distressed for the lost so that they pray, so that they serve, so that they share, so that you can't just keep on keeping on, same old, of ignoring people's condition without Christ. Where you're just distressed, where you're messed up. It'll mess your life up. You might end up moving to India or somewhere, you know, and moving your family, and it's not a lot of fun. I mean, it's fun because God's in it, but it's a lot of work, and there's stress. And you get over there in places like India, and there's so many people that don't know the Lord, and they've got so many bad ideas passed down generation after generation, so many lies that oppress them. And your heart's just broken. And you're like, Lord, do you care about these people? Have you ever asked God that? Do you care about them? Do you see how they're living without you? Doesn't that hurt you? And then you have to go back to the scriptures and go, yeah, he does care. He cares more than we do. He's a God who's at work in our world. And in fact, that's what this beautiful passage in Acts 17 really points to, is that God is after people, and he is moving in his people to do something about it. He's chosen us to be the instrument. If you look at Acts 17, there's a lifestyle of calling people out of the lost world, no matter the response. We're not going to read these scriptures, but I'm just going to give you a quick tour. Verses 1 through 5, Paul's going from place to place, and he's just telling everyone he can about Jesus Christ. And some are responsive, some are not. That's what you find out. It's a vigorous pace, and there's an urgency. Paul is just saying, you know what, I want to tell as many people as possible, whether they receive it or not. And so you just see him day and night. And when he gets kicked out of one place, he'll travel through the night and wake up in the next place and go at it. And he's not like, oh man, Lord, why'd you let that happen? That was such a bummer. Pity party me. A few times he had a little pity party, and God sends his spirit to say, don't be afraid. They're not going to kill you. I got a plan. And you're part of it. And as long as you're part of it, they aren't going to be able to touch you. And that's the confidence we have in Jesus Christ, which you can see Paul walking in that. Acts 16 to 20, there's a calling daily because he's so distressed. And that's the story where this message comes from. Acts 17, where Paul is in Athens. He's run from another place where he's been mobbed, and they're trying to get him. And he's there, and he looks around all these people messed up and oppressed by the lies, and he just can't stand it. So what does he do? It says, day by day, he went to the market. Here's the catcher, the clincher, whoever happened to be there. And it says, what was his message? He was preaching Christ and the resurrection. Very simple. Hey, can I tell you about this Jesus guy? I know maybe you haven't heard about him, but man, he's God. He's God in a bod. Now, he probably didn't say that, you know, it's Greek and all that, but he's trying to say, look, God has reached down to us. We've been trying to reach up to him. You've been doing all these idols, but God's reached down to us, and it's amazing. It's good news. He's given us a gift. He's given us forgiveness of sins and interchange and renewal. What you philosophers and you intellectuals are trying to get through science, all you guys are trying to get there, but he's given it as a gift. Real life, isn't he? And he rose from the dead so that you would know the message is true. He rose from the dead. And of course, he gets a lot of jives and jeers for that. Hey, I've been asked to close this message off right about now. So, what I'm going to do, in your bulletin, can I see someone's bulletin real quick? Kind of made a blunder. Not grabbing one. Not a good idea when you're using an outline. We're not using an outline. In this is a tool for you to take today. You know what I'm excited about? I've been praying about this. I think God's already been at work through the series that's been here. Hopefully this is a bit of a continuation of that message. But you'll see the points in Acts 17 of the message. I think they're powerful. I think they're helpful. When you think about presenting the gospel, I'm an evangelist. My call is to somehow equip you, motivate you in some way. And so I hope that this is helpful. There's a where do you start section about seeking God earnestly. And there's just some scripture and some questions, I think, that are helpful. And maybe you're a small group, maybe with your friends and those that you know love the Lord too. And so, and then there's a tool on Facebook called the Simple Spiritual Survey that I've used to share Christ with people and found very helpful. There's lots of great tools out there, but I just present another one to you that might be helpful. And then there's a challenge in the inside, making it stick, seeking God earnestly together. We can all have our own personal revolutions, and that's important. But what really causes transformation is a movement. And a movement requires us kind of sharing what God's telling us and praying together. That's how we got here in the faith, is a movement that was started by Jesus and the apostles, and it was started through prayer, right? They were in the upper room. Holy Spirit came with fire. People wanted to know what was going on. Thousands got saved. Other miracles happened. More thousands got saved. It was a movement that was done and started by God. It was all God. And in Acts 17, it actually says that he's appointed both the times and place that we should live so that we might seek him and find him, though he's not far from any of us. There is a sense that you are the right people at the right place at the right time to reach this generation. That's why we're going to India. We feel like, hey, you know what? I don't feel adequate. I don't feel like I really know what I'm doing. But God, I see the stats. There's the most unevangelized people in that country in our generation. And so I'm going to go. And I'm going to try to be part of the solution in the 1040 window in my time. And that's my role. Your role is different because God puts you in a place. He's put you in relation with me for some reason, right? You're probably still asking that. Well, this is a Brad Butcher guy. Why do we... But there's a reason. And hopefully, as we explore that, and at lunch we can explore it a little bit more in a more personal way with us, but you with others, you with your neighbors, your family, your coworkers, your schoolmates, get the point? The people you randomly meet in the marketplace, like Starbucks. I was telling Steve I shared Christ with this guy at Starbucks last week and a half ago. About a two-hour conversation. It was incredible. And it was just God working. I prayed this year that I would be able to share Christ at least one time every week. And then I have this internet ministry that I'm part of. And I've already this year shared with, I think, 19 people. And I'm just like, Lord, thank you. I don't want to force it. And that's the key. I want to be walking with you so that this is really where I'm at and who I am. That I care. I really care. And I'm willing to risk rejection, willing to risk whatever, because you know what? I'm not going to hate people by not wanting to tell them and trying to show them. Last night I was at dinner with our neighbors, and we did a little game night. It took us an hour drive each way. It wasn't very convenient right before I'm speaking the next morning. But Jen and I are committed to our neighbors, and we just know every time we spend time with them, there's an opportunity possibly for us to tell them about the Lord, which we've already done, but we just want them to get saved. We're leaving for India, and it's like, we don't have much time with you guys. And I want to tell them this. I want to say, hey, guys, we're leaving for India. I don't know when we're going to see you next. And I think I'm going to have this conversation with them because we're already planning Easter weekend, and maybe they'll come to church Easter. I don't know. We'll see. But we're going to do Easter egg hunting with them, and I want to tell them heart to heart. I don't know how much I'm going to see after we move to India. And there's a question that's kind of been itching on me. And that's if I don't see you again and I see you on the other side, I just want to know, do you feel like we've tried to tell you about Jesus? That we've tried to tell you what we know, what we believe, and that we've done that? I mean, do you feel like we've cared? The worst thing I can imagine is we all get over there and, maybe you're not. Maybe you're not in heaven and you look up at us and go, what's up with this 5-year friendship we had as neighbors? And why didn't you even try? How much could you hate us? Right? I just want to know. I said, could you help me out? Have we done it gently and respectfully? We try because we really want to see you in heaven. And we love you. So you can pray for my neighbors. That would be awesome. And I'll pray for yours. And maybe on your bulletin zip strip, you can put some names. I know there's a prayer handout here too for you. Just a daily prayer list. This is what I do. I try to pray for people every day. I've got a couple pages for each day now, but I really try to pray. And it gives me peace because I'm praying. Because I can't always say something. I can't always serve them. But can't we all pray right where we're at? What if we all were in that habit? You know what prayer leads to? Sharing and serving. It's almost unavoidable when you start praying for someone. That distress level goes up and you're like, man, Lord, please help me be able to show them who you are. Pray for my neighbor Jane. We just fixed her house last Saturday with our community group from a church that's closer to our house in Hillsborough. And she had cancer surgery on Thursday. And we prayed over her. There was about 15, 20 people that came over to her house and fixed a bunch of stuff. She's a widow. She's really not healthy. And she's at OHSU right now. And she's got a pretty serious surgery that she's going through. But she needs Jesus. And I'm praying that she'll come to know the Lord. And, she loves us. It's a blessing. That's really what happens when you really love people in the Spirit of God. you will reap what you sow someday, right? It's never in vain. So let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for this morning. And Lord, I thank you for this passage that reminds us so powerfully that that the truth sets us free to really love deeply. And Lord, thank you that your Spirit's in us to lead us in that. And Lord, you lead us when to serve and be quiet, but serve in your name, Lord, and you lead us to share, that they might know you. And so, Lord, I pray, we all pray together, Lord. Help us really be distressed about what we ought to be distressed about, to the point where we're taking these people to you and we're in agreement with you, Lord, and we're open to acting and sharing and serving and however you want us to. And Lord, we just pray that our lives would be about what's eternal. And Lord, that we would be willing to take more risks to love people. Lord, would you open our hearts? You know, sometimes we've grown cold because we've been shut down, because we've experienced some frustration and some closed doors. But Lord, would you remind us that you love those people more than we do, and you are at work. And the reason we're distressed for them is because you are, because you love them way more, and you gave your life for them, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just pray, and I think we all pray, let us be workers for your harvest. Lord, let us be available. Lord, we know some sow and some reap, and Lord, we just want to be faithful to do our part, to love and have a passion for people like you do. So lead us in that, and thank you for it this morning. Lord, let us not be just hearers this morning, but give us a line of action that we might be doers and respond to what you're saying. And, Lord, we just pray some people get saved. We just pray some people get saved, Lord, sooner than later, so that more of their days will be with you and they'd really be alive. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.